morning, Modesto.
Good morning.
You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. I am your host, Leo Landaverde with Greenland. And here is my beautiful co-host, Claudine. Say hello.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Hey, happy Saturday to you.
Are we happy that it's not so windy?
Yes, it's sunny.
That I was about to get blown away. This whole entire week, it's been crazy.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
What's up with the wind?
It's kind of a bummer because it's knocking the happiness out of the sunshine.
Well, we have a great show for you today. If you're listening, we are all about being actionable. We give actionable advice, and we're all about helping businesses be profitable and sustainable. I help them with the profit, and you help them with being sustainable. So we make a great team.
Yes.
And thank you so much for the feedback. We're getting some great feedback about the show. And, you know, we try to be real and transparent.
Absolutely. And, you know, if there's ever a subject that somebody wants us to kind of maybe focus on or think about, definitely hit us up on the websites. Give our offices a call. We're always open to feedback and interesting ideas, things that are important to the people listening.
Yeah. So today's show, it's something that we talk about quite a lot indirectly. It's payroll. So, you know, we're going to be talking today about payroll. And we have a great guest today. His name is Joshua Gilbert with Heartland Payroll. We'll get to him in the next segment. But we'll be talking about payroll and everything and how complex it is. And if you were to take that on, think twice before you take that on yourself. So Josh is going to be he's a fiery professional, and he is a real deal sales. He's just a lion.
That's right.
Great, great friend of ours. So, but before we get to that, we got stuff to talk about. What's going on in the Central Valley? Hey, what's going on?
Business is good.
Business is good.
Business, so we're getting great feedback from our businesses, our clients. Business is growing. Things are moving, and it's really, really exciting. We had such a long period of time where things were just, you know, not doing well financially, economically, and then people were afraid to grow even after that. They're afraid to put themselves out there and maybe, you know, hire those extra employees. And now we're just, you know, things are just growing. And so we're really excited for our clients. And our offices are growing too.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're getting into this habit of the business and the legal update. So we want to take the first segment to kind of bring you up to speed if you're a business owner. And if you're driving right now to and fro and this beautiful Saturday, sunny morning, that if you're a business owner, you should be listening to us. You should be saving our show. You should be marking our show and hearing Power Talk so you can tune into this. So the business updates, hey, tax deadline, April 15th.
Yeah.
Are we ready for it?
Well, it's more. I guess the better question is the CPA doing the taxes ready for it? We've done what we could do.
I know.
At this point,
I know.
It's in the can, as they say.
And it's true. I mean, I deal with day-to-day accounting issues, but I don't file it. I mean, I couldn't live with that kind of deadline. You know, like a lot of my friends who are CPAs this is the time that they actually work 14, 15, 16 hours a day.
Right.
I mean, they basically live at the office and making sure it's a different lifestyle. And so people love it. And so people thrive on it. But the point is that the tax deadline is this year is April 15th, which is Monday. Now, too late to do any pre-tax planning because the year is over. So if you didn't do everything right, it's too late. But there's a couple things you can still do.
Okay.
If you're trying to shore up your personal taxes, so your IRA, if you haven't funded your IRA, your individual retirement account, you can still do that. So long as when you are actually making that deposit, you get some screenshots. You got to protect yourself. And it's got to be for the 2018 year.
Right.
Because if you're going to make a contribution and you do it online and you can do a bank transfer, you can do that all the way up to Monday. And it has to be, you know, prior to the, you know, on the deadline.
Right.
And you got to protect yourself that you actually did it. And not only do you have to do it by Monday, you have to do it for the right tax year because you can actually make contributions for 2019 in 2019. Whoa, what a concept, right?
Right.
But if you're going to do it for the prior year and get the credit for it, you got to do it over the weekend or probably by Monday. So that's, you know.
As well, you can still file for an extension.
You can file
all the way till midnight to Monday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, you know what I tell my clients is, look, it's not good when you're constantly amending, you know, tax returns. So if you're not fully ready, I agree with you. You just got to do it right. And, you know, by getting an extension, does that mean that you're going to take all the way to, you know, if you're a corporation, all the way up to September 15th? No, you're not going to do that.
Right.
But you want to do it immediately. If you need an extension, make it like a 2-3 week extension. Don't wait 6 months. It's hard to remember what happened last month in our businesses. It must, you know, much more difficult to remember what happened last year.
Well, I think a lot of this is key to having the right team behind you on the bookkeeping side, because that's part of being ready.
Cha-ching! Yeah, that's a plug-in. Thank you, well, Greenland. Here we are to help you.
There you
Come
go.
Come on.
Shameless plug. But it's
shameless
true.
Plug.
It's really true. I know that, you know, as far as my office goes, when it comes to being prepared for taxes,
yep.
We've already done the work. It's the bookkeepers at this point who need to gather it all up. And have they been keeping up with it? Or are you that business that does it at the last minute, you know, started a week ago, gathering up all your books for the year? I have done that. I don't do that anymore. But I have lived that life.
Stressful.
It is incredibly stressful. And I know that there's a lot of micro businesses who probably still do that. And I would highly encourage you to let 2019 be the year that you know, maybe have some bookkeeping assistance so you don't have to go through
Come on. Keep talking. Listen to this all day.
It's Saturday, the sun's
Thank
out.
You. Thank you. You know, and Claudine, you're on the other side where the grass is actually greener. Right, you've come through this period where you were catching up, always catch up at the last minute, and when we're in a hurry to do our tax work,
right,
it's never right. You can never be too careful, and speed is the enemy of perfection when it comes to tax work. You want to do it right.
Yeah.
So you're right about that. Hey, and by the way, 2018 was the most robust change to the tax code in the last 20 years.
Really?
So I am constantly getting feedback. The changes, the ripple effect for business owners is actually coming out. You know, the jury is still out, but it looks like it's going to be much better for businesses. Filing 2018 versus 2017, and you can see the side-by-side comparison, a lot of businesses will fare better.
Interesting. And I think that there's this kind of double-edged sword, is because when business is doing better and you're enjoying more profit, then that has a tendency to cause you to owe.
Yes.
Whereas in previous years, when things were not going so well, we just didn't know so much. And all of a sudden you get the tax bill and you go, okay, there it is.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the double-edged sword of profitability. And, you know,
you
try to make the best of it. But recognize that if you're owing a little bit more, it's likely because you've been doing better.
Well, I hope you make a whole heck of a lot more money than the prior year if you're going to pay a little more taxes.
Right.
The point is pay as little as possible.
Right.
Hey, so that's me on the business side. Legal updates. Anything exciting that we should know about that has happened the last... Any juicy stuff?
Juicy. Yeah. Well, you know, every day we've got ADA claims coming. And if you're a business owner...
Tell us about it.
Absolutely, highly recommend that you get together with your landlord and have a conversation about ADA risk and your building. I know we were just looking at some new office space, and it was an upstairs building. It was perfect for us, but it was upstairs with no elevator.
And that's a problem.
I just could not do it. And it was a gorgeous space, and it was perfect, and the price was perfect. But I highly recommend that you sit down with your landlord and strategize. You can hire a certified specialist who will come in and look at your place and do an examination of your place, tell you what the risk is, and how to fix it and what needs to be fixed. And you can get together with a contractor and do that proactively, because I'll tell you, the cost of having the specialist come in and do an evaluation of your location is a scintilla of what an ADA suit costs.
Now,
and there's no defense to it.
Here's a dumb question, right? So if you're a tenant in a building and you know, you have a 3-year lease, and then the business that your unit or your suite gets, you get entangled, the landlord gets entangled, do you as a business owner, what liability do you have?
Well, all of it, because typically your lease is going to put the responsibility of ADA compliance is going to be put on the tenant through the lease. That's pretty standard.
Really?
However, everybody needs to understand that both the tenant and the landlord end up getting sued. And it's the reason being is because the landlord is the one with the asset. The tenant may be the one with the business, but the landlord has the asset, which is the building. So no matter how it goes, what your contract says, everybody gets wrapped up into it. And that's why you really need to have that conversation, because we need to be realistic. Landlords should not just assume that because we have it in the lease that we're not going to get entangled in it. And tenants should not just assume, hey, it's the landlord's building, it's their problem.
Okay, listen up right now. If you are driving and listen to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, you need to pay attention to this. You just got hundreds of dollars worth of legal advice. It's, you know, thank you, Claudine. You can never be too careful. You can never are completely insulated from any legal action against a landlord if you're a business owner and you're occupying space. It's you can't go at it blindly. You gotta have the right people on your team. And Claudine, I mean, I keep singing your praises, but you're keeping people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of legal claims, right?
I can tell you that it's unbelievable how quickly it goes, because the cost of the repairs is one thing. And a lot of the repairs have to do with city sidewalks, the grade in your parking lot, a ramp grade, whereas years ago, the grade on the ramp entering the building was compliant, but now it's not compliant because the requirements have changed. You cannot spend money any more wisely than if you go and get an evaluation of your building, sit down with your landlord, and have a conversation about how are we going to address this. Because you are just sitting as an open duck, just waiting for somebody to try to enter your building, and they can't enter it because you haven't made it accessible.
How many business owners do you think that are actually looking for office space are actually thinking about that? I mean, your experience. Like, they actually walk into looking to grow, looking to office space, and ADA is not even a thing.
I think the larger problem is that people look at it and they see a handicap sign on a bathroom, and they see the doorway is wider, and they presume that, oh, we're compliant. Or they see a ramp and they think, oh, we're compliant.
So the space is 36 inches, so it must be fine.
Yes. And what we don't realize is actually that place is probably no longer compliant when it was compliant 10 years ago or was compliant some time ago.
Wow.
The parking lots are a killer.
All right, so you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk AM 1360 here in Modesto and Stockton. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, and today we are on fire. There is so much going on. You know what? I've grown to really love just being here doing this show. We love to talk, and we love to be real, and we know business. So Business and Legal Talk, hence that's their name. So you know, we talk about all these topics every week, but we sometimes forget to talk about, you know, why you need to work with, you know, what we do and why you need us on your side. You want to have Leo and Claudine on your side. If you have any questions about what we do on the accounting side and how we help companies grow and you know, it's scaling and profitable, if you're a business looking to scale, we need to talk. Go to www.greenlandhq.com and learn more. Because, I often be compared to the guy, Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet. And really, I can walk into a business and really assess it within 3 minutes. All I have to do is look at your financials. But this is what we do because we love doing it. And Claudine, tell us about yourself.
Well, we're a business and real estate firm in Turlock. We do do telecommuting, and we do travel to clients. So if you're out there in the Central Valley, don't think that you have to necessarily come to Turlock. We do a lot of telecommuting with our clients. Clients are busy. They're out there, and they don't necessarily have time to even, you know, pack up their business and come in, even if we were in the same town. It takes quite a bit of time. And we are working with clients day in and day out to help them stay alive, to navigate this treacherous business environment that we have in California, and to stay protected. And protection is all about it. So you can make $1 million, but I'll tell you, you can lose it real quick over a lawsuit. So proactive. We are looking for clients who want to be proactive about their business.
And you have a sweet spot for certain verticals, right? You love certain industries. Which ones are those?
Well, we work a lot in the construction industry. The service industry. And, you know, construction and service industries are really big here in the Central Valley. But that's not all we do. So we're here to help you out. You can find us on the web at sharon-law.com. That's SHERRON-law.com.
Awesome. Hey, so we're taking calls today. So if you have any questions, we're going to introduce our guest right now. But our studio line, 5209-551-3483. I repeat, 551-3483. If you have any call, any questions you have on payroll or anything for that matter. So let's talk about our guest today. So his name is Joshua Gilbert. I'm going to paraphrase. If I do something wrong, just, you know, correct me, Josh. But you are Josh Gilbert started his career in 1994, a few years back. So he has been in the payroll and HR industry for over 18 years and spent 4 years in the medical sales as well. Married to his beautiful wife, Angela, had three boys, rambunctious, I hear.
Yes.
And he could not pursue what he does without the support of his wife. This is a family man, a consummate sales professional through and through. He lives in Clovis, California. He's been gracious enough to come to Business Legal Talk with Neil Claudine. Say hello, Josh.
What's up? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody get paid this week?
Yes, as far as I know.
All right. All
otherwise,
right, you
my
can
wife
stay.
Would have called me out.
we'll let you stay a little longer.
I appreciate that. You guys make it fun out here.
Thank you.
It's much fun.
Thank you. Yes, you know, and the reason, one of the biggest reasons why you're here is because we often are talking about payroll, you know, and I say payroll is your biggest expense and you got to go out with eyes wide open. Your staff is an asset to your business and you got to be managed properly unless it becomes a liability. But a lot of when it becomes a liability is not handling payroll taxes properly.
Oh.
So, right, Claudine?
Ouch. Yeah, and I know, you know, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Josh.
Yeah.
We're now working with Heartland, and we really appreciate the service and the attention to detail. We did not realize previously the company that was working with us would file our taxes, I think, on a quarterly basis. I know I would get a message that says, you know, here, this is what we're filing. And it was quite a large bill. But your service now does it every payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And correct. We love that. Every payroll. So it's a little bit easier each payroll to do it rather than have a $5,000 or $6,000 bill, you know, quarterly or something.
It's a cash drain.
So,
it's a nice budgeting tool.
I mean,
you don't want to have a big bill at the end of the quarter. We make sure that you're set up so that every pay period there's a debit for all the liabilities,
right.
And we make the deposits for you accordingly.
And we love it because I'll tell you, one of the things as a business owner we're afraid of is, you know, obviously the cost of payrolls and the cost of employees.
Correct.
And having somebody else handle it makes us really not that worried about it. Yeah. Maybe we're just not focused on it. We let you focus on it.
So payroll. I did some homework, and I was, you know, because I'm always thinking about payroll, you know. And we're not just theoretical people trying to talk about business or talking about business. We're actually practitioners. We actually have businesses, and we have payroll. Josh, walk us through. So I asked you to come up with some topics to discuss today, and you have I see a couple of common mistakes in payroll.
Yeah.
Walk us through them. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, you two kind of hit on a couple key phrases. I mean, you talked about risk, talked about working from behind, something we don't want to do. I don't think employers understand sometimes that when you decide to open your doors and take on employees, there's a lot of liability and compliance that starts coming into play.
Right.
And payroll, in my opinion, over the years has been commoditized, but I'm in the business because I want to help my clients. I want to have a voice in the community, and I want to make sure that they understand this is a relationship business and that they need to be taken care of. So after someone registers their business with the state and the IRS, there were a handful of things that we kind of talked about. And the first one was, are we budgeted properly for payroll as an employer? I mean, what do you two do to budget? You know, some of the things you think about, not just payroll, but there's a lot of other topics.
Well, I can tell you, Leo has helped me extraordinarily in that area. And really, when he started working with me and we were really going through or approaching a real growth phase, and, you know, attorneys, they're not, you know, $15 an hour employees. They're expensive employees. And payroll costs are relative to how much you're paying your employees.
Correct.
And so he really helped me sit down and kind of backward analyze it and break it down from the backside and how many, you know, how much is it going to cost? Therefore, how many hours do we have to do? Therefore, how many clients do we have to have?
And the metrics.
The metrics. And then we arrived at a this is what it's going to look like. Can we accomplish it? We said, absolutely, yes, we can. And here we go.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the things that I do when I meet a new business owner, and I do meet a lot of them regularly, is I help them budget.
Mm-hmm.
How do I budget for payroll? A lot of them think the employees pay the taxes. What about the employer side?
Right.
So just to give everybody a number, you know, your tax burden as an employer is about 12%. It's actually 11.75, but for the sake of conversation, we rounded up to 12.
Right.
So if you pay me $1,000 every pay period, it's going to cost you $120, Claudine, in payroll taxes.
Gotcha.
So people need to understand that so they budget. And then on top of that, what about all your insurance needs? I mean, you two know a lot about insurance.
Yep.
You've got workers' comp, which is scary. A lot of people don't carry it at all. And then we have things like general liability, EPLI, E&O coverage in your two neck of the woods. I have story after story after almost 19 years in the business of people that don't have coverage. And unfortunately, we live in a litigious society.
Oh, yes.
So we want to make sure you're covered. Otherwise, people are wise enough to maybe come after you.
So that's interesting. You actually proactively work with your clients to make sure or at least address, have a conversation about the topic of insurance.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to make sure that from A to Z, they're covered.
Right.
And workers' comp, benefits, insurance is a big part of what I do. And I actually partner with people in the community to get my clients connected.
I've seen it play out time after time.
Yeah. Leo and I have done a lot together.
We've done a lot together. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What makes you different? You know, we hear about the big outfits and the big call centers and the big payroll companies. To remain nameless,
or the banks,
or the banks. You know, banks. Banks want to do payroll. Banks want to do your credit card processing. But it would be the equivalent of going for surgery with a family practitioner. You know, if you go to a family doctor and says, "You know, I have brain surgery. Will you feel comfortable scheduling your brain surgery with a family practitioner?" No, you want to go to the experts in payroll. You have to have an expertise in what you do. So what makes you different?
I went back into the business after a 4-year hiatus in medical sales because I love people and I want the relationship connection.
Right.
What's unique about Heartland where I am is our credo is entrepreneurs respectfully serving entrepreneurs. And so my focus is to have that ongoing relationship after the sale is actually made.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we can do that is I'm a straight commission salesperson. That is not the norm in this business. Yeah, can you believe it?
You are a professional. You mean so you don't have a check? Paycheck?
I don't have a check. I have to earn my business every day, every month. So there's a residual component to what I do. So it behooves me to stay in front of my clients. So you know I do updates on HR.
Yeah.
I like to do follow-up with my clients, get involved where I can. So those are – and for me, it's all about I'm the face of Heartland. So that's what makes me different.
And for the record, we love Heartland.
And I appreciate that. You both use us, so you're kind of a nice success story.
Yes.
It's like the hair commercial. I'm not just the president. I'm also a user.
And you have good hair, Leo. You got great hair.
With gray hair.
I'm not just a doctor on TV or something. Like
that. Yeah. You don't just play doctor on TV.
Yeah.
So walk back to the common mistakes and payroll.
Yeah, so the budgeting piece. So do you want to have benefits? I mean, benefits are a great retention tool.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bring in qualified people, be competitive in the marketplace, recruit, you can have benefits. There's a cost to that.
Right.
What about things like time and attendance? You know, are you going to put in a time and attendance system? A lot of people don't think about that.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry if I cut in.
Yeah.
How do, in your experience, as you run into business owners, how do most people keep time and attendance? How do they track it?
It's still manual.
How?
It's still they track it on an Excel spreadsheet, or they go to, let's say, Office Depot and they buy one of those old school clocks where you punch with the
punch
paper
cards still.
Yeah. But 40% of businesses in America still do time and attendance by hand.
Wow.
40%.
That's a lot.
2019 is still happening, right?
It's still happening. I mean, with all the technology out there, we have biometric technology now where it reads a fingerprint or your face.
Right.
You know, we're getting into James Bond land here, you know, some of that kind of stuff. But what we found is when somebody puts the system in place, they can save about 4% annually on their payroll expenses.
4%?
Correct. So if you have a very large payroll, $500,000 a year, that could be $20,000. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
So just think about numbers like that.
And I'll tell you, it's from a legal standpoint, from a a standpoint of employment law and litigation, that is risky. And
it
I
is.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Because, boy, I'll tell you what, wage hour lawsuits are the top of the list. That's
I'm
the number one thing that we go after and is you know, I shouldn't say we go after, but I should say people who are litigating or suing businesses. Right. They're, I mean, wage hour stuff. And so not having that timekeeping mechanism in something that's absolutely concrete and reliable is scary.
It puts a system in place and prevents what we call buddy punching.
Yes.
How many times have you heard people say, hey, just I'm about 10 minutes late. Just clock in for me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it happens. I mean, I'm not saying people want to be dishonest, but they know they're late for work, but they want to make sure they're accounted for.
Right.
So it's little stuff like that.
Boy, that's risky.
We're taking calls. Hey, if you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leon Claudine here in Power Talk, call us. 551-3483. We're talking about payroll and how to do it properly. And here we have a professional. But the thing I like about you, Josh, is you ooze knowledge on payroll. That's clear to all of us.
I appreciate that.
But you have, I think what I appreciate most and what you want as a business owner want with your vendor is a partnership.
Correct.
And the way you come across is you look at them from a holistic standpoint. You look at a business. Yes, you can help them with payroll, but then you start asking questions about things that owners are not thinking about. Hey, you know, your insurance, when was the last time it was evaluated? These financials are, you ask these thought-provocative questions. Why do you do that?
I'm genuinely curious. I mean, you know that about me, Leo. We've known each other for years now, but I just enjoy helping get people connected. I have a lot of connections outside of what I do directly. I've got social media connections. Claudine, I know I've sent some people to you to help them understand what entity type they should be. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of different things that I don't know that you know people need help with. And I want to send them to an expert.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. I'm not an accountant. I'm not an attorney, but I feel like I'm knowledgeable and I try to help guide people.
Well, I'll tell you, Leo and I have talked about this on previous shows, is that there's this real need for business owners to work collaboratively with their resources and not to just go over to your attorney and have a conversation and then leave your attorney and go to your accountant and then have a conversation. Because when the attorney and the accountant and the CPA and the payroll person, when we are not all communicating, we're not providing the best service. So one of the things our office really strives to do is work with our business owners and their other resources, not just work with our business owners, because I can't tell you how many times I could sit in front of a client and give them a certain piece of advice that the CPA is going to go, oh, no, that's, you know, let's do something completely different. And what happens is the client just ends up being confused. And then oftentimes not doing anything or not making the appropriate change.
Yeah.
So when you're having that proactive conversation with your clients, because payroll is, and perhaps in the next segment we can talk about labor code 226, because I'm sure you're very familiar with it, but it is a huge liability. It's a huge cost to the business, just the cost alone of paying your employees, but the liability that comes along with making sure your payroll's correct.
And we assume liability for all that. All a client really needs to do is they need to make sure they have money in the bank. Right. Tell us how much to pay the employees. We do all the rest. We take all the compliance.
And it makes it a breeze.
What people need to understand, what you need to understand as a business owner, is the transfer of liability. When you're doing payroll in-house, you're taking that liability personally.
Correct.
It survives the business. It attaches to you personally. And I think a lot of people, there's a misunderstanding that, you know, as a CFO, I worry about two things. And you can quote me on this now, is, if you work with me, you know I worry about cash and risk, right? Risk, it's payroll if not done properly. And cash, boy, you got to have the money to fund your payroll. So more on that. There's a bunch of other questions that I have. But right now, I hope you're having fun. And you are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. Oh, I just love saying that. It just kind of rolls out nicely. So
it's
Saturday morning, April 13th. We're talking about payroll. And we have a great guest today. His name is Josh Gilbert from Heartland Payroll. And we're talking off the air. gosh, there's something about you that makes you different. You have this infectious personality. There's something about compelling, and I want to ask you, well, what gets you up in the morning?
Well, my faith, number one.
Coffee, but after
coffee.
That, yeah.
I'd have to say, you know, the people that get me up in the morning would be my beautiful family. We have three boys, Jaden, 15, Xander, 5, Beckham is 3. And then my beautiful wife, Angela, who has the hardest role in the world. She stays home full time. She allows me to do what I do.
You couldn't pay her enough.
No, I couldn't even afford her, honestly, if I tried to bring her in. But, you know, that's what gets me up to doing what I do, and I enjoy the relationship piece. I mean, I like connecting with people every day, and I feel like I kind of have the best job in the world. I get paid to do that.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That is awesome.
So, listen, I think running, a lot of what I really appreciate, and this is not something that we are constantly talking about, but we have mentioned or referred to from time to time, is mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mindset that goes on into being a business owner. And you are a business owner.
Yes.
I mean, you really are running your own business.
Yep.
When you set commissions and all that, how many people can do that? That's my respect.
I appreciate that. It's not for everybody. But I got tired of kind of the corporate mentality, and right. I had to do something for me and my family.
Right.
You're on our side. I mean, yes. You know, we stopped working. You know, we are consummate salespeople, Claudine and I. We are out there, but we're passionate. I don't think what I do, it's work. I just love engaging people and helping them. If you help enough people get what they want, you inevitably will get what you want.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that goes back to Napoleon Hill and think rich and grow rich, right? Grow rich.
Absolutely.
So back to payroll. All right.
Yes.
So I have this list of common mistakes. Have we covered them all? I know, Claudine, you wanted to talk about something.
Well, yeah. And you mentioned a really important thing that I want to advise business owners. Whenever you have the opportunity and it's affordable that you can transfer risk, do it.
Yeah.
Anytime. I mean, there's always a cost with transferring it. So sometimes it's not affordable and you just need to do it yourself. But payroll is one of those things that, you know, we talked about ADA with businesses are just completely wide open to ADA claims, and they don't realize it. The other thing is payroll. People need to understand that there is a labor code in California, labor code 226.
Correct.
It outlines 9 specific things that have to be on a pay stub.
Yep.
And if you don't have those 9 things on a pay stub, you are liable to, for a penalty for every week or every pay period that information was not there. So then, and that's just the labor code. Then we have PAGA, which is Private Attorney General Act of California, 2004.
I'm going to remember that on my way home.
I know. Just all you need to know about PAGA is that it basically doubles your trouble. So it's 2 lawsuits happening at the same time. So then for every pay period that you did not have a correct address on your payroll or on your pay stub, pay period beginning and ending date. I had a client who they had the pay period ending date, but did not have the beginning date. And we got sued, and it was a class action. And and it was a PAGA on top of it. And we had almost 50 employees who got paid weekly. So it was just an overwhelming disaster. And in our research, we found that the courts have said you must have the payroll beginning and ending date. It was a lawsuit that involved FedEx, as I recall.
FedEx. Okay.
And it was an enormous class action lawsuit. And FedEx fought it all the way to the end, claiming that the employee knew what the pay period was if they had the ending date. And the court said, no, you must have the beginning and the ending date.
So in every paycheck, the pay period that it covers.
Yeah. And I'll tell you from the standpoint, I'll let you talk a little bit more about this, but from the standpoint of litigating on behalf of employees, when an attorney takes a case on behalf of the employee, the first thing they do is ask for a copy of the employee's personnel file. And pay stubs are to be included in that.
Yep.
So every why are pay stubs included? Because that's the first thing we look at. Because that is a dead to right. If you're in violation, there's no defense to it. You either have that information on the pay stub or you do not. And it's a penalty. So that's the first thing that attorneys do, is look at the pay stubs.
And the employee, so the They want to subpoena the employee files.
They don't even have to subpoena. If an employee requests a copy of their employee file, you must get it to them.
Really?
Yeah, and it's 30 days, 21 days, and there's a little bit more into that. But just suffice it to say, you must provide it. And what is to be in there is a copy of time cards and payrolls or pay stubs.
Really?
And this is where labor law compliance comes into play. I mean, from my experience at California, I came from Oregon originally. California is one of the most employee-friendly states in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Second only to New York, I think.
Correct. And it's a little bit scary. You can really get put in, in the weeds here with payroll. The average HR manager in California is $80,000 a year plus benefits, unless you're in L.A. or San Francisco where it's over $100,000.
Yeah. Right.
We're 6% higher than the national average. So what you're talking about is HR labor law type of stuff.
Absolutely. And if you can defer that to a competent payroll company, the client that I was dealing with, they had actually purchased their software through their accountant who had recommended it. And it did not have the capability of putting both the beginning date and the ending date on the pay stub. So we actually went through a period of time where it was, as the paychecks go out, folks, let's just write that by hand.
No way. Yeah. How many pay stubs?
We had almost 50 employees. I think it was at the time it was like 47. And the company was a company that had traditionally paid weekly.
Yep.
Wow.
And so it was a big burden.
And when things are written by hand, a lot of times there's no check stub. It's just the check.
Yeah.
So they go to the bank and they cash it, but where's the stub? Where's my year-to-date earnings? Yep. How do I know, what I've done for the year? What are my deductions?
Yeah. So
gross wages.
Very important that your pay stubs are done correctly. And if you can defer that liability to somebody who's competent and who gets it done.
We have a company, Josh and I, and to remain nameless, but we have come in contact with different. No, we don't work. I mean, I personally don't work with everybody. If there's a business owner who won't play by the rules, I don't want to have to deal with it. It's too much liability. Yeah. I don't want to be within one click of somebody who is not doing the right thing. Right.
Yeah. Because we're also taking on liability.
We are taking on liability as advisors.
Yeah.
You know, you and me. And if somebody is willfully violating and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but. Things like accruals, what a big mess. You gotta be keeping track. If you have, I see on our list of topics on
there's a lot.
State and federal mandates, the California paid sick leave. That's a whole other thing. But I think July 1st, 2015.
Correct.
Came into law. And then you have to provide 24 hours and whatever verbiage comes with. But that's a legal mandate. But then you have companies that offer PTO, a combination of paid time off meaning accrual of vacation. How do you guys handle that? And how often does that happen that companies are not keeping track of it?
A lot of people do it in-house and they might use a payroll company and then they'll track all the accruals in-house. So it's two separate places. I have somebody recently where the payroll company they were using, they just weren't confident.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very robust accrual system where we can show amount earned, what they accrued, what they used, the balance, and it's on the employee's pay stub.
Good.
And then they actually have online access
to their pay stub. So they know every time they receive the pay stub where they are. So how many accrued hours they have that they can use against for vacation
and
or time off.
And you know from experience with California paid sick leave, you can either do front load it or you can do an accrual.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what kind of employees you have and what your philosophy is. But
right.
A lot of people do a little bit, one or the other.
But I'll tell you, failure to pay your paid sick leave going to get you in big trouble.
And I've heard of some lawsuits that have come out of that. People are litigious society we live in. People are smart. Some people, they look for that.
They do. And I have have one recently that went through the labor board. The amount that was not paid was under $300. By the time they got done and adding up all the penalties, we were almost $8,000.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're paying attention. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Attention, are you a business owner? If so, you should be listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We are having so much fun today. I don't want it to end. But inevitably it has to.
I know. And it's crazy because business owners, we I think we're just all kind of a different breed anyway. But we can really have fun conversations over things like payroll. Yeah,
we can make any topic fun.
You can. Normally people don't want to talk about this.
I know. But
the most boring things become alive.
You sleep better at night if you face the dragon and get your resources and lock arms with solid resources, solid advisors.
All about working together.
Yeah.
So right now, Josh, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Go for glory.
Wow. 10 whole minutes.
Until
we interrupt in about 30 seconds. No, go for it. Well, you know, what makes you different, you know, in Heartland, the whole thing?
Once again, it's the relationship component. You know, I don't actually process the payroll. I've got a great team behind me where we give them a single point of contact to deal with someone that's not a call center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really believe the relationship piece is what's key, and that's why I chose Heartland to hang my hat on, to build my business.
And for those who don't know, Heartland's quite a robust company.
Yes.
We are. When I meet with someone, I talk about we're a business solutions company.
Right.
So we do merchant services. We have lending. We do analytics. We have e-commerce. So there's a lot of things we do beyond just payroll. I happen to be in my sweet spot, which is payroll and labor law compliance.
Right. And I love your newsletters
that
come out.
That.
I really do. They're interesting. I have you, and there's one other entity that puts out kind of on a regular basis an HR type newsletter. And both of them I always take time to stop and read because it takes a lot to stay up on what's going on.
And it's another way for me to just stay in touch with my clients.
Right.
I want them to know I'm thinking about them. There's a lot to think about. I mean, just a few other things to touch on. Most people don't know that there's now a mandate for sexual harassment training in California.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And why did this start? The Me Too movement from last year sparked this new topic.
Yes. Mm.
So basically what a business owner has to do is, the old rule was, hey, you got 50 or more employees, you have to do supervisor training every other year,
mm-hmm.
2 hours.
Right.
And that was about it. Now, if you have 5 or more employees, you now have to do every other year, supervisors, 2 hours of training, regular employees an hour, but you have to have this done. And it starts, you have to be the first go round, if you will, is due 12/31 of this year. So if you don't have this done and you get audited, you could get some pretty heavy penalties.
Right.
Now by audit, you mean you need to have the paperwork, then the signatures of everybody that attended and the content that was gone over.
Certificates.
There's protocols that you got to have, right?
There's protocols. Yeah. It's not just saying you did it. You got to have proof that you did it.
Correct.
We have some solutions at Heartland, and then there's also some nice web-based solutions that are cost-effective
mm-hmm.
that I'm actually going to go through one myself and then share that with my clients.
That's great. So you actually, again, we're all about the proactive approach.
Yeah.
So you're out there actually proactively working with your clients on those type of solutions too. So this is not just about getting a check to your
No, I mean, that's why I have
employees.
I mean, Claudine, that's why I have you.
Yep.
Leo and I've referred a lot of business to Leo because people need what he does. I don't do that.
Right.
We don't sell any insurance at Heartland. I focus on our sweet spot. We call it staying in our lane.
Right.
So I'm doing payroll, I'm doing HR. I have other experts for other things and insurance, et cetera.
I love that.
But the mandates are huge, and we do have an HR component where we can build people a handbook and customized job descriptions. It's not just a template.
Great.
It's actually getting down and dirty with the client.
Great.
So, I mean, another mandate that a lot of people don't know about. Did you two know that starting next year, if you have 100 or more employees and you do not have a privately sponsored retirement plan, you now have to have one in place with the state of California?
Yes.
Leo, did you know that?
Well, I think you told me about it last week, and I was blown away by that.
It is. Yeah.
So
it's something that's been in the works for a while.
Correct. And you can actually start getting signed up July 1st.
How many employees? What's the minimum threshold?
So this is the way they're doing it right now. And remember, we're in California, so it's subject to change. But basically, if you have 100 or more employees, starting by June 30th of next year, you have to have a plan in place. It's going to be kind of like a Roth IRA for employees.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. At the following year, 2021, the threshold drops to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then the magic number in 2022 is 5.
You know,
5 or more employees. You have to have a sponsored plan.
And, I'm always resistant to more regulation.
Yes.
But I have to say, this is one of them that I really think is good for our businesses, good for our communities. And while I hate regulation, because it just becomes more complex as we go.
Yep.
This is one of those that I think is really going to be good for our state on the long run.
Yeah, and the employers honestly are going to have a lot of the concern about it is lifted. It's really going to fall more on the state. the employer doesn't have to make a contribution. They don't have to do a match. This is really more about the employee.
Right. And I think that that's important. And I think that this is, we oftentimes use businesses to cover the cost of things, to provide services for employees, to do things for the community. We throw it in some form of a regulation or a tax or a fee on a business.
Yep.
And this is going to be one of those that really is not going to hinder businesses to a terrible extent. It's not going to weigh us down.
Yeah.
But in the long run, I think this is going to be really good for our communities.
Yeah.
And it's going to help people get in that lane of saving.
Yeah, and one thing that I run into is, you know, a 401k is not always the best fit for a business. There's a lot of admin fees. A lot of employees these days don't want to take advantage of them. They rather get the cash.
But there are other instruments too.
There are.
You know, like SEPs and, you
simple
know,
IRA.
Simple IRAs.
And once again, I work with financial advisors to help my clients. I don't try to do that. I stay out of that.
I know that was the one benefit when we were, when we first started. The one thing that we said we want to provide, even above and beyond paid vacation, was a retirement program where the employees can participate in it.
This is so cool, guys. I just got an email. Thank you, Mike, for the email. If you're listening right now, he just he loved the show and he needs to tighten up his payroll and he probably needs to talk to Josh. Thank you, Mike.
Go, Mike.
Wow,
thank
go,
you, Mike.
Mike. Wow. So anyway, so thank you.
Yeah.
One thing I want to make sure talk about is this whole credits. You know, you help. There are certain types of credits that you help businesses sort of capitalize on.
There's a credit out there called a work opportunity tax credit. And basically, it's free money that the federal government wants to give business owners just like you guys.
That sounds good.
The average credit for one employee that qualifies is $2,400.
Really?
And the highest is $9,600. So just to give you an idea, like the three most popular buckets are someone that served in the military.
Okay.
If someone happens to be on food stamps, maybe somebody had a felony in the past and they've really wanted to get re-energized and recharged, so an employer gives them a second chance. The employer actually can benefit from that. The cool thing is it's not a payroll credit. It's actually a credit against their federal tax liability when they file their corporate tax return.
Interesting. And from the employee. No. The
employer side.
The
employee doesn't get anything. This is an employer benefit because they're the ones that are putting this employee in motion.
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah, so the cool thing is, I mean, we have a very nice onboarding tool where instead of doing paper W-4s and I-9s and all your, you can do everything online. So we send a welcome email to an employee through our system. They fill out everything electronically, their ID, all that can be taken, comes back to the employer, and it drops right into our payroll system electronically at no cost.
Wow.
WOTC, Work Opportunity Tax Credits, there's a questionnaire there, and they actually can take that too. And our system will identify if someone might be eligible. Stats show us 20% of the U.S. workforce is eligible for a credit.
Really?
Less than 1% of employers take advantage of the program.
Why is that? Just not knowing?
Not knowing, number one. Administratively, it's very burdensome. You have to go through a certification process with the state of California, and it's very, very detailed. If you don't do it right, you can't capture the credit. We have it down to a science.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Putting money back in the employer's pocket. We don't hear that very
often.
We just don't hear that very often.
A quick story. I mean, I have a client that uses us for credit card processing, and I called him about payroll, and I said, hey, what are you doing for WOTC? He said, we actually already do that, and we just got ours back from a couple years ago, $400,000 in WOTC credits because they had multiple hotels, restaurants.
Right.
They really took advantage of it. But when I talk to people, most people have never heard of it. Sometimes accountants don't know what it is.
I know.
I mean, there's people who just don't know.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit it.
I mean, you know what? What's crazy is you may be even in your lane doing what you do, but there's some specialties that you just can't do. You know, you don't have the bandwidth. And CPAs don't have the bandwidth to capture everything, so you have to go with the specialists.
And
guess
who our biggest competitor is?
Who is that?
In-house payroll.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So more people do their own payroll than outsource.
Really?
Because
they want
the control.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
2 minutes. All right. So
consider, please, using a service to...
Claudine, hey, ADA compliance, can somebody talk to you about it?
Absolutely. Please come talk to us. We can put you in touch with a certified specialist that can come and evaluate your property. We can really work with you to mitigate the potential damages that, you know, that are everybody's facing.
Yep. Awesome. Well, we'll talk offline. So is there a business that is too small for you?
No. My sweet spot is one employee. I have a lot of one-employee companies.
Love it.
You take that?
S-Corp owner. Well, the liability they face is really the same as a large business.
It is.
It's just a little bigger.
It is.
But what
wipeout.
True.
Wipeout's a wipeout.
Correct. And I don't I don't ever turn somebody down. If somebody said, hey, I have, it's just myself, I'm like, great. I have a lot of one-employee companies. Our sweet spot is really one to the 250.
Okay.
We can do larger businesses, but depending on the solution they need, if they're not the right fit, you know, I try to help them outside of that.
Great.
So, final thoughts. So we talked about credits. We talked about you are a partner with the business, and you bring in your team of experts wherever you go.
Correct.
How can we reach you? If somebody wants to deal and talk to you, where do they go?
You can call me.
Okay. What's your number? Where can
I
call you?
So my number, I live in the Fresno area in the great city of Clovis,
heart
of California. My number's, Josh's number is 559-392-2759. Once again, 559-392-2759. You can email me too. It's joshua.gilbert@heartland.us. But I'm here to serve the community. So whatever I can do to help people.
A shout out to Heartland. Thank you.
Or you can reach out to us, and we can also put you in touch with Josh.
Where should they go if they want to reach you?
If you want to reach me, we're in Turlock at area code 209-427-2200 at sharon-law.com.
And Greenland, Greenland HQ, like the country of Greenland, and then HQ.com. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Have a great week.
I hope you have fun. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.